Thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church. If you would like more information on previous messages or sermon series, visit our website at oursaviorschurch.com, or you can call the office at 337-839-8889. Once again, thank you for joining us at Our Savior's Church.
How many go to movies? Anybody go to movies? You've ever gone to a movie? How many of you like to go and get there early because there's this section, we call it the previews of upcoming, In a World, a Most Dangerous World. You know, you watch that and that's to kind of get you excited about what's about to happen. You know, like, oh, when does that come out? Oh, I can't wait. We're going to go see. How many of you have ever done that? Yeah, if you're like, I'm not a get there early guy, but Heidi, she's like, we got to get there early because she got to get her seat. I like to eat popcorn during the movie, but we get there so early, my popcorn is gone. We get there before the previews. We get there during the trivia game. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? So, you know, the popcorn's gone. But so today, here's my goal. I wanted to give you a preview to the upcoming series that makes you want to come back so that you can get into the series. Are y'all with me? So today's just a preview, In a World. And I want to just give you the preview of what's coming. And that way get you all excited, I hope, or motivated, inspired to be here. Let me give you kind of the topic of the new series that's coming up. Let me ask you, just by asking you this question. Has God ever spoken to you? Have you ever heard the voice of God? Now, I want to be honest with you. I have never heard an audible voice. I've never heard God speak to me in an audible way. Not with an oratory way, not on the outside. I have heard God speak. How many of you know God doesn't speak? He can externally, but how many of you know most of the time it's an internal voice? It's on the inside that he speaks to you. And it's usually not up here. It's usually down here. Does God have a voice? Does he speak? How does he speak? I want to answer that. This is a preview. How does he speak? And maybe even answering, what does God really sound like when he does speak? And so I hope to motivate you to seek and to listen to the voice of God. Let me start by giving you a story written out of Mark Batterson's book, called Whisper. And he tells a story that happened 50 plus years ago when Dr. Alfred Tomatis, who was a ear, nose, and throat specialist, had a patient walk into his office. His patient was a well-known, renowned opera singer. And the singer came into Dr. Tomatis' office because he had a problem. He once could sing any note that he wanted within his range, and now he began to sing off key in certain notes he could no longer hit, even though they were within his range. And so he went to specialist after specialist and could not find any answer. Most of the specialists diagnosed that there was something wrong with his vocal cords, and he walks into Dr. Tomita's office and said, I cannot hit notes that I've always been able to hit. Do we have any singers in the room? You know what I'm talking about when you begin to sing off key. And how many of you have someone sitting next to you that was singing off key earlier today? Now, don't raise your hand. And so here's this renowned opera singer who has this problem. And so Dr. Tomatos takes a decibel meter, puts it about a meter, 3 or 4 feet away from him, and has the gentleman sing. And I don't know if you've ever been to an opera. We've been to some plays in London, and we've seen the theater. The projection that these talented people, I mean, they are... In fact, he was registered, the singer, at 140 decibels. Let me give you just a reference point. Probably today, I don't know if we had a decibel. We usually have a decibel meter in the back. We usually try to run the sound from this auditorium at about 90, 95 decibels. This one opera singer at a meter away was producing 140 decibels. Just so another reference point. That is a jet engine taking off of the runway. That's how loud his voice was projecting. And Dr. Tobinos also figured that inside of his head, if it was 140 on the outside, it was probably even louder on the inside. And here was his diagnosis for the opera singer. He had been deafened to certain notes within his range simply by the sound of his own voice. He'd become deaf. He could no longer hear it. And if you can't hear a note and you're a singer, you can't sing a note if you don't hear it. Have you ever heard someone singing off key? And you're going, how come they're singing off key? How come they can't? It's because it's not a problem with the voice. It's a problem with the hearing. And then the voice can only reproduce what it hears. So if your life has been off key, maybe it's because you've been deafened by some voices, negative self-talk over and over again, voices of criticism that you've heard so long you can't believe anything else, or maybe the enemy's voice of condemnation saying nothing but lies about you, or maybe even life circumstances you've just been overwhelmed because that voice is so loud it deafens who you really are in Christ. We sang it today, I am a child of God, but the other voices have been louder than God's voice. And are y'all tracking with me this morning? And so that's what this series is about you learning to hear. There is a voice. God does have a voice. He does speak. And I want you to be able to tune in to that voice because I know you need to hear it. In fact, I know you want to hear it. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But I want to make sure we understand something. Again, today I'm just giving you the preview so that you want to see the movie that begins next week. Here's what I know. How many of you have driven by the building lately? You've driven by there the last couple of days. I need y'all to pray. Here's why I need you to pray. How many of you know rain is a delay? So every day it's raining, it's delaying. So we know we need the rain because the flowers and the grass and everything needs the rain. So I want you to pray specifically that it would rain between 6 and 8 p.m. each day. So we got plenty of time to dry out in the morning. They can work all day and then let it rain. Let it rain 6 to 8. Are y'all with me? 6 to 8, we're good with. Well, here's what I know, and I have a little bit of experience, very minute, in civil engineering, land surveying. My father was a land surveyor. We have some that attend our church. And I do remember these days that when we were doing a new project, much like our church, there was always a benchmark. Everybody say benchmark. There was a benchmark in the community somewhere that you had to measure from to go to the project that you were building. Not only was it a measuring point, a benchmark, and they're all around Opelousas. There's benchmarks. And when they started our property, they measured from the benchmark, probably maybe a half a mile down the road, to get to the first corner of the building. They couldn't even put a stake in the ground of the boundaries until they measured to the benchmark. That benchmark would measure other people's property as well. That way, when you look at the map, it all fits together because it's all measured back to the same benchmark. Everybody tracking with me? Yes. And so if you don't get it, it's also an elevation. It gives you the elevation, how high or low by sea level. Here's what I want you to hear. We do have a benchmark. It is called the Word of God, the Bible. That means all things should be measured by it. You got to measure it back to it. So even in the series, when we talk about hearing the voice of God, even when God does speak to you, you should measure it back to the benchmark to make sure that it is true and it is right. I would even say to you, you may even share it with a brother or sister and say, would you please evaluate this? Because I believe this is what God is saying to me. Yes. How many of you have ever been sitting in church? If you're a single man, looked over and saw a single woman. You like it when the women raise their hands in church during worship because you ain't checking out. You've seen if there's a ring on their hand. If I was a single man, I'd be the greeter at the door. How y'all doing? Good to see you. I'd be checking left hands out. How many of you know, I saw her in church, it must be the Lord. How many of you know, God, some of us can even manipulate what we think is God. Oh, she fine, it must be God. No, well, you got to measure it, right? What do? You measure it back to the word, which is called a benchmark. It measures all things, and I want to make sure that you understand that. We were here last week, and one of our church mothers pulled me aside and reminded me of a story that I'd really forgotten about. There's a couple in our church that are amazing people, love God, just really incredible people. But we've known them so long, I forgot the story. And the story goes, she goes, do you remember? And she recounted the story. Do you remember when? And that it reminded me of truth. We live in a culture, listen, look right here. We live in a culture that is now a culture that has elevated the tolerance over truth. Amen. We got to tolerate. And what does that mean? That means now it's wrong to say something's wrong. And that ain't right. Now, what's wrong? It's like these little kids that play in these little leagues now. Now they don't even want you to keep score. They want everybody to win. How many of you know not everybody wins? How many of you know those little kids, the parents aren't keeping score, but how many of you know those kids are keeping score? They know who wins. And we want everybody to get a trophy. That's just not reality. There is a truth. And now we got to be full of grace with truth. You don't use truth to beat over. And she recounted the story, and here's the story. There was a couple in our church that they were moving the ball down the field. They were among us, and well, we loved them. And then one day I got with the gentleman, and I asked the question. Hey, bro, are y'all married? And he said, no, sir. I said, really? I said, are y'all living together? Head goes down. You know what the answer is. He's trying to get out. We were in a car, so I was going 50. He wasn't getting out. I had him. I said, y'all aren't married? I said, well, are y'all doing what married people do? Well, he didn't want to answer that question. And he's going down. I just said, listen to me. Listen, I love you. I love you, man. I'm so proud of you. I'm watching God work in your life. But can I tell you something? I'm going to measure this back to the benchmark. And bro, you want the privileges, but not the responsibility. And that ain't right. What do I do, Pastor? I said, well, we got two choices. I love it when men ask me, what should I do? We got two choices. We going to move out, or we going to get married? One of the two. How many of you know my brother chose wisely? He said, we getting married. I said, let's plan it. And we did. They married. I'm so proud of them. Let me just tell you something. Grace is, I'm going to love you no matter what. But truth is, I'm going to love you enough to always be honest with you. Because we're always going to measure it back to the benchmark. And by the way, if that's you in the room, you got two choices. I'll leave it there. That's not today's message, truth and grace. All right, let me take you. I love this, Hebrews 4:12. Look what it says, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, about God's word, about this benchmark. For whatever God says to us, read this yellow with me, is full of living power. It is sharper than the sharpest dagger. It is cutting swift, deep into our innermost thoughts and desires with all their parts, exposing us for what they really are. And I want to talk to you. Can you flip back to the beginning of that verse? I want to kind of zero in on the yellow here. It is full of living power, the word of God. I love this. The word of God is translating this yellow, kind of diving into full of living power. There is a word that the Holy Spirit's job description. It is to quicken things. Everybody say quicken. Yeah, the Holy Spirit quickens things. What does quicken mean? It doesn't mean to make you fast. It means to resurrect things. The Holy Spirit resurrects things. Resurrection. I don't know if anybody in here knows CPR. Does anybody know CPR? Yeah, I learned this. The things you learn at Our Savior's Church. There's two parts of that CPR. If you've seen someone give it CPR, it's the pressing of the chest. And I don't know. We have some doctors here. It is. I heard this. I think it's true. If not, y'all correct me. That you should do that to the beat of Staying Alive. How many of you know the song Staying Alive? How many of you don't know the song Staying Alive? Don't try to do CPR on me if you don't know the song, right? It's Staying Alive, Staying Alive, Staying Alive, Staying Alive, Staying Alive. I'm not sure about that part. y'all don't do CPR on me. Let a professional do it. All right, I'm not sure about that part. But there's another part, isn't there? There's the part that you take open the mouth and you what? You blow into it air. You blow breath into it. This word, quicken, resurrection, means to take in the breath of God. It breathes in you. It resurrects you. It brings you to life again. One word from God can change everything. Amen. Just one word. Listen to me. If you would just get a word from God, it'll solve 1,000 problems. One word. The power of one. It's living. It's powerful. Watch this. A few weeks ago, Pastor Jim LaFoon was here. Pastor Jim has a prophetic gift. In fact, we called 2 or 3 out of each service. Hey, come up here. And he would prophesy over them. He would give them a word from the Lord. Whew. Breath. Whew. Resurrection. Staying alive. One of the great privileges that Heidi and I have is after Sunday, when Pastor Jim's here, this is my favorite part, when Pastor Jim comes. It's not even the praying over. It's not even the service. My favorite part is calling each of those individuals Sunday afternoon to go, tell me about it. And to hear their responses back from it. I don't know, Pastor Jim, that was just amazing. I mean, did you tell him something? I told him nothing. How did he know all that, Pastor Jim? I don't know. The Spirit of the Lord. I mean, he said things that nobody knows. Not even me, just me and my wife. I know, isn't it amazing? I know, I just can't believe it. I mean, and I would ask specific questions, or Heidi would, about the prophecy. They go, well, things we didn't know. We were just up there going, And seeing God, every single one of them had the same response. God really does know me, and he really does love me, and this changes everything. Most of those people, we knew what they were walking through in their life, and we called them up because they needed a resurrection. They needed a and they walk up and went, oh my gosh. Look at the power of word. It's a famous story around here. We were looking for a building for our final home. Ford House, Delta Grand Theater. We tried to buy the Civic Center. We'll see if it was for sale. I mean, we were trying to retrofit all these old buildings. And one day, things weren't going well. And I feel the pressure, right? I mean, I'm like Moses, and y'all are like the people of Israel, and y'all are like, beat me. Everybody, well, did we get a building? No, I'm still looking. And so I was feeling the pressure. And nothing was working out. I mean, I was feeling a little discouraged about it. And then one day, the famous story, you've heard it, but if you're new, you haven't heard it. Danny, sitting right here in the front row, Danny Jackson, one day after service, and he probably didn't even know it, but he asked me, how's the building search going? And I said, not well. And we bought into the same mission. We're on the same team. An African-American leader says to me, If we're serious about tearing down prejudice, white folks and black folks need to build something together. They've never built anything together. I knew that was the word of the Lord. The next day, quickening, resurrection, power. Poof, next day, hey, go find the best piece of property in St. Leonard Parish. It was 24 hours later we were standing on that property in one word. It enacted $17 million into action. You were willing to sacrifice for it, all based on one word. It changed the strategy, the system, the direction. It changed everything. Discouragement was gone, and encouragement was breathed in. That is the power of a word from God. Oh, you want the word. You want it. You want it. You're going, I want God to speak to me. You do, you do, you do. You know how I know you do? Because when Pastor Jim was here, you wanted to come up here. You was hoping I would choose you. How come you don't ever choose me? In fact, we had one winter service where a man come walking down here. Like, he wasn't even chosen, but he was like, hey, get out of my way. We're like, get back, bro. Why? Some of you were waiting out in the foyer hoping Pastor Jim would walk by just to give you a word. You want to hear God speak. Here, look right here. God is more committed to speaking to you than you are to listening to him. He has a voice. He wants to talk to you. The benchmark is we always measure back. We always measure back to the Bible. But he has a voice, and he wants to speak to you. How many received this so far? You good? Yeah. The psalmist knew it. Watch what David wrote in Psalms 119. Excuse me. Psalms 119, verse 25. Watch this. I am completely discouraged. This is for some of you today. You walked in here completely discouraged. Look what the psalmist wrote. I lie in the dust, but he knew, Lord, if you would just speak to me, it would revive me. Because one word from God changes everything. I hope coming this new series to help you and show you the ways that God does speak. I have a feeling God has been trying to speak to most of us, myself included, but we were deafened by the other loud voices in our head that have said so many things to us that when God spoke, it fell on deaf ears. It was a note that we could not hear because we have been deafened by those loud voices in our own head. Amen. Are you with me? So I hope to help you as we go forward in this series. The psalmist knew. And then let me take you to the book of John real quick. John chapter 15, verse 7. And then I love this where it says, if you abide in me, Jesus was saying. If you abide, Bible word, good word, abide. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, watch this promise. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If my words abide in you, if you abide in me, we better define abide. What does abide really mean? Well, I'll give you four just quick kind of synopsis of what that word means, because it's many faceted. It's not just kind of one meaning. It's kind of a surround sound of meaning. Let me give you just a few of those thoughts. Number one, it means to be moved, to be moved. That's when the Holy Spirit moves your spirit. When you feel something, it's to be moved by him, that you're moved in his presence. It also means to stand still. Everybody say still. You might remember the scripture that says this, be still and know that I am God. Be still. We don't do still very well. We don't like still. Remember, we'll discover this in the series. The Bible tells us what God's voice sounds like. Preview, upcoming. He speaks in a still, small voice. In order to hear my voice, you gotta be still. Let me check my phone. I think probably we've overemphasized, and I'm guilty, we've probably overemphasized when we say pray, we've probably overemphasized this part, talking to God, and underemphasized this part of listening to God. They're both important in any dialogue, is to speak. And isn't it funny that God gave you one voice and two ears, that maybe he wanted you to listen twice as much as you spoke. Just listen, be still. And so it means to be moved, to stand still. It also means to stay overnight. When was the last time you pulled an overnighter with the Lord? Like, I got to hear from God. I'm desperate. I need a word. I need the Holy Spirit to speak to my spirit. I'm overwhelmed, so I'm going to spend the night with God. And also means to dwell with him. God not only wants to have residence in us, but he also wants to spend eternity with us. We sang it this morning, you know, in my Father's house or many rooms. There's a place for you in my Father's house. He's already created. Again, let me just remind you, God's more committed to speaking to you than you are to listening. The Bible says if you will draw near to God, he will draw near to you. He's already created a space for you. He's just been waiting for you to show up to that place so he can begin to download with you. He has a voice. He's committed to speaking to you. And I want to help you in the upcoming series of how to hear it, how to know it, how to judge it back to the benchmark so you'll know when. How many need a word from God? Yeah, you do. You do. Okay. Is that good? Remember, the Bible's our benchmark. All things are measured by it. The goal is not to get into the Bible, but to get the Bible into you. Not so that you'll know the Bible better, but that you'll know the author of the Bible better. In fact, I've prayed this prayer over you many times. It's found in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, that says this. In Paul's words, and I'm just reiterating over you. Heidi and I have prayed this over you. It says this, I have never stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you wisdom to see clearly and really understand who Christ is and all that he's done for you. Again, he has a voice. He's committed to speaking to you more than we're committed to hearing it. And again, the Bible is a primary source of how God does speak, but we will discover it's not the only way he speaks. And in my prayer, as we go through this series, that God is going to give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, so you can discern his voice. And I know that we need it. Are y'all with me so far? Okay, let me conclude. Vic's going to help me, but I want to take you to an Old Testament because I want you to pray something as we get ready to go into this series. I want you to pray a prayer this week. In fact, I want you to pray this prayer every single day. It's real simple. I think it's about six letters. It's about a six-letter prayer. How many of you can commit to praying a six-letter prayer? I'm not even asking you to do the Lord's Prayer. I don't know. That's about 75 words or so. I don't know. I'm just asking you to pray six words. How many of you could commit? Lord, Pastor, I'm in. I'm going to pray six words. Let me take you to 1 Samuel chapter 3. By the way, I'm going to do a baby dedication next service. If you've ever been to a baby dedication, I usually use this story in the Bible, the story of Hannah. Her womb had been shut up. She couldn't have a baby. And she prayed a prayer like this: Lord, if you'll give me a child, I promise I'll dedicate him to you all the days of his life. I promise you. I promise you. And then the Bible says that the Lord heard her prayer and opened up her womb. And she gave birth to a son, and his name was Samuel. And when she weaned the boy, some believe about 7 years of age, she brought Samuel to the temple and gave him to Eli, the priest, for him to serve and to work in the church, the temple. And Eli was now responsible for raising him. The priest, the old priest, took this little boy under his wing to raise him up. We now know because we have the Bible, that he was going to be a great prophet in Israel. And in baby dedications, I'll say something like this: Hannah wanted a baby, but God wanted a prophet. And that little boy, and we're going to see this story of Eli, the priest, and Samuel, the prophet. Look, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was what? Nobody was hearing God. There were not many visions. See and hear. And he goes, one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was laying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. They're both getting ready to sleep for the night. Then the Lord God called Samuel. Look what the Lord says. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran into Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went and he lied down. This happens in your house all the time. I'm watching the game. Heidi's in the other room. And she says, "Eugene." Push pause. How many thank God for pause? You don't have to miss a play. You just push. Back in the old day, we had to miss the whole play. You push pause and you go, "Baby, did you? Yeah, you called me?" And she goes, "I didn't call you." "Okay. I thought you called me. I want you to see." That's what's happening. Samuel's hearing his voice, his name, Samuel, and he's going to Eli. "You called me, sir?" "I didn't call you. Go back and lay down." Watch what happens. "You called me?" "I didn't. Go lay down." Again, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up, went to Eli. "Here I am. You called me? My son." Eli, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Let me translate that for you. He had not learned to discern the voice of the Lord yet. Watch what happens. A third time, the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up, went to Eli, his son. "Here I am. You called me?" Then Eli realized the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Watch this. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." I just want you to pray one prayer this week. "Lord, speak. Your servant is listening." And then listen. Probably got to get still. It's tough to do that when you're driving down the road. A place, "Lord, speak to me. I need to hear you. I need to hear you." Because one word from God could solve 1,000 of your issues. One word from God can change. Can take something that was dead and bring it back to life again inside of you. One word from God is a deal breaker, a game changer. It can change the entire course of your destiny. One word from God. How many of you want to hear a word from God? You go, "Speak." Let's pray. Father, we come to you as we preview this series and what you're going to say. I ask that you would give me wisdom and revelation, Father, that I can communicate your heart on this subject to your people. These are your people. They're not my people. They're your people. And Lord, that you would help me. But Father, we pray this prayer right now out loud. Would you just say that? Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Say it again. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Look at me. God is not a genie waiting for our command to grant your wish. I think it ought to be the other way, that you have a heart to go, Lord, I'm listening for your command so I can grant your wish. If you'll do that, God will speak to you. He will lead you and guide you by His Holy Spirit. He'll warn you about doors you shouldn't walk through and open up doors and say, go through that one. He'll lead you and guide you by His Spirit. The Bible says for us to walk not by sight, but by faith, which means listening instead of seeing. And I know God wants to speak to you. Do you receive this word today? Awesome. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Congregation, Christians, would you be praying? Maybe today you're here today. I want to ask you this question. Have you ever been born again? Jesus said you can't see the kingdom. You can't enter the kingdom until you've been born again. Even today, some of you have never heard the voice of God because you've never been born again. Today, I'm going to ask you, maybe you're far from God. You've been running from God all of your life. He's been running after you. He's left the 99 to find you. And maybe today's your day of surrender. And go, I need to surrender my life to Jesus. How do you become born again? What's easy is ABC. A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that Christ came to be the penalty payer for your guilt, your sin, and your shame. And C, confess Him as Lord and Savior. He's here today. His Spirit is here today. He's not mad at you. He loves you. And all you have to do is ask Him. He'll forgive you of your sins, and you could be born again today. You could start over. And this is an invitation to be born again. If you're here today, you go, Pastor, you, that's me. I feel the presence of the Lord today. That's me. I want to pray for you right now. Would you just slip your hand up all over this building? No one's looking at me. Hold up high. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Hold up high. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm looking around the room. 7. I see it. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray together, church. Let's pray out loud. Would you say this? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. You receive that today? Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.